We are up to Perek Yud, Chapter 10, Mishnah Beis of Maseches Irvin. So coming off on the last Mishnah that we did, Mishnah Aleph, there seemed to have been an understanding that if someone is afraid of listim or robbers or something like that, then what they can do is that they can carry the tefillin in, at least according to one perspective. They can maybe carry the tefillin in by walking 4 amos at a time. If they walk 4 amos at a time, then it's going to be very simple that they're not going to be violating any Torah prohibitions per se, because they are not carrying more than 4 amos in Rosh Hasharabim. They are carrying in less than 4 amos segments, which is, and they're putting it down essentially, so they're not violating anything. This Mishnah, Mishnah B, seems to have a different perspective. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Rabbi Shimon says, "No snan lachaviro." Instead of a situation where someone can pick, walk less than 4 amos at a time in each segment, and therefore keep putting it down and picking it up. Instead of doing that, what should he do? He should give to a friend who is standing within 4 amos of him, the chaviro, and his friend should then give it to his friend who is standing within 4 amos of him, and so on. Meaning, you should have a human chain, and I guess what you need to do is really have 2 people to have a human chain, because you can keep going the other side of the person. But the point is that you should have a human chain and go like that, and not have one person walk in less than 4 amos segments. Rather, pass it to a friend in a straight line trajectory to where you need it to be, and stand next to each other less than 4 amos away, and therefore no one's carrying 4 amos in Rosh Hasharabim. Ad shemagia lechatzer hachitzona, and you do this until you reach the outermost chatzer, the outermost courtyard of the city, where the tefillin that we're talking about can be left in safety. Okay, now v'chein b'no. Now let's say we have a more extreme situation. So fine, that was tefillin or something holy, perhaps. But what about b'no? What about his son? His child was born in a field on Shabbos, right? They were traveling, somewhere, or they were caught somewhere. Erev Shabbos, labor started, so they just made a little camp in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere. So v'chein b'no. So similarly, if one's child is born in a field on Shabbos, and obviously the child has to be brought somewhere so they can be taken care of. You can't just sit in the middle of the field for the rest of Shabbos. No son the chaviru. You should give the child to the friend, the chaviru, and they should give and his friend should give the child to his friend, and so on, and that you make a human chain. Afilu mea, and says the Mishnah, even if you have to have the child handled by 100 people, which is obviously not ideal or not so comfortable, then this is the preferable way of doing it than just having one person carry the baby less than 4 amos at a time. Now again, it seems like you don't need to have the 100-person option. It seems like you can just have the 2-people option, which probably is a little bit better germs-wise, at least from our modern understanding of things. But anyways, yeah, so you should have a human chain, and everyone should be standing less than 4 amos from each other to bring the baby to the safe place that you need to bring him, even though what's going to be carrying. We override seemingly the rabbinic prohibition because we want to make sure the kid can go to safety. Now, further in this conversation is fine. So first we dealt with holy items, then we dealt with children. But what about none of these things? Rabbi Yehuda says, "No stein adam chavis the chaviru." Let's say someone found a barrel in Rosh Hasharabim, and he likes the barrel. He wants to take the barrel home. So he can give the barrel to his friend, the chaviru, and he can give this, and his friend could give it to his friend, etc. Afilu chutz latchum. And says Rabbi Yehuda, even if it needs to be, even if you're outside of the tchum of the city, or whatever reason, you're outside of the tchum, and you want to bring it into the tchum, so it says Rabbi Yehuda, you can even bring it in this manner with this human chain, even if it's outside its tchum, meaning you could bring it more than 2,000 amos from where it was found. So if you, it could happen that you are within your tchum, to go more than 2,000 amos in a certain direction, right? We've spoken about this with the Rabbi Tchumen, but the barrel can't go more than 2,000 amos because the barrel also has its own tchum of 2,000 amos. But says Rabbi Huda, you can even transport this barrel outside of its tchum, meaning more than 2,000 amos from where it was found, if you do it in this manner. Okay, that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. Amrullah, but the Chacham said, "What? Lo tahalech zo yoter meragli v'aleha." Right, the barrel can't go farther than the feet of its owner. Meaning, the barrel has to be treated as though it had an owner. Right, so obviously the barrel is not a sentient being, so it doesn't own itself. In theory, it has an owner, but over here it seems like the barrel is ownerless. But it says the Chachamim, you need to assume like it had an owner. So therefore, just as the owned barrel would be confined to a chum, of the owner, if it had an owner. So to this ownerless barrel, it has to be confined to a certain tchum, meaning you can't bring it more than 2,000 amos away from its place. That's just a fancy way of saying that you can't bring it more than 2,000 amos from where you find it on Shabbos. Okay, that was Mishnah Beis. What about Mishnah Gimel? Haya kori basefer al-ha'is kupa. So let's say someone was reading a sefer, and we understand that a sefer over here is not just like a book with a binding. No, it's like a scroll, and particularly we're clearly talking about some sort of a Torah scroll or a Nevi'im or Ksuvim scroll. So you were reading from this scroll while you were sitting on a porch or something like that that is going to be considered that is going to be considered a karmelis. So you're sitting in this Carmelis area, which rabbinically you can't carry from there to Rosh Hasharabim and likewise. Nitzgalgil ha-sefer miyado. What happens when you have a scroll? Sometimes one end of the scroll rolls out of the hand and lands on the ground in the Rosh Hasharabim. So says the Mishnah, Golalo etzlo. He can roll it in toward himself. Meaning why? Even though it's an Isser derabbanan to bring something from Rosh Hasharabim to a Carmelis, since we're talking about the sanctity of the scroll over here, we don't want it to be left in this demeaning position, so therefore you can roll it back toward himself because it's only an Eser Derabanan, and the rabbis lift up this prohibition for this situation. But let's say, hey, Kori Verosh HaGag, what if he was reading this scroll when sitting on a rooftop, which is not just a Carmelis, it's now it's a Rosh HaYachid, and it's Galgel HaSefer Miado, and one end of the scroll again rolls out of his hand, so before it comes within 10 tzvachim of the ground of the Rosh HaRabim, Golalo etzlo, he can roll it in toward himself. Mishehigia la'asar tfachim, but once it comes within 10 tfachim of the ground, then he can't roll it in. Hovchval k'savim, what should he do? He should just turn it over onto its writing and leave it like that, so that it's a little less demeaning. But again, since it's in within 10 tfachim, he can't bring it in to, he can't roll it back up. Now, what's interesting is that, technically, it's not even an Isser D'oraisa to re-roll the scroll back up, even in this situation, from Rosh HaYachid to the airspace of Rosh HaRabim, because he's already holding on to the other end of the scroll. But since it's so close to an Isser D'oraisa, Chazal don't want you to bother to it. They say you can't even do this to protect some sort of a holy scroll, so you have to just turn it over on its side. Now, the next statement of the Mishnah is very puzzling, so we'll have to do a little bit more to understand what it means, but let's read the words and then we'll try to understand it afterwards. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu in mesulak min ha'aretz ela kimlo machat," even if it is removed from the ground by only the width of a needle, meaning it's not touching the ground, but it's very close to the ground, but not touching it, meaning so it's suspended in the air, just very, very close to the ground. So Golalo etzlo, he can roll it in toward himself, the understanding is that since it's not resting on any sort of a surface, bringing it back to the Rosh HaYachid is going to be totally permissible. Now, what's so weird about this is this seems very odd. We just had an opinion that said that if it was in 10 tzvachim of the airspace of the Rosh HaRabim, he can't roll it back up. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if it's within like a millimeter of the ground, if it's not touching the ground, you can roll it back up toward itself. So the Gemara actually deals with this, I'll read you an excerpt that I have over here in my edition of the Mishnah that quotes what the Gemara does within this situation. So it says, "Bamed devar memurim." So what exactly is going on over here? So the Gemara says that it was clearly missing some words here. We need to fill in some words. So what's going on over here? So what's the situation that we just read that if it falls below 10 tefachim, you can't roll it in? Says the Gemara, Bekotel Meshupa. We're talking about the case of a sloping wall, meaning the whole situation was that it was always resting. It was resting on some sort of a sloping wall. All right. So when we said it was within Tetzvachim, meaning it was resting within Tetzvachim, not floating in midair, it was resting within Tetzvachim. And that situation, you have to turn it over. Bekotel Sheino Meshupa, but in the case of a wall that isn't sloping and the end of the scroll is just dangling in the air, so Afilo Pachos Meshlosh Tetzvachim, go low, slow. So even if it's less than 3 Tetzvachim from the ground, he can roll it in to himself. Right, so that would be the understanding over there, as long as it's not resting at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu inu mesulak min ha'aretz ela meloha chot," because Rabbi Yehuda has the opinion that if it was removed from the ground by only like just like the width of a thread. red, like less than a milliliter, go a little bit so he can roll it into it himself. So again, to review, the opening opinion, or the first opinion over here that we had, was someone said that if it was rolled to the ground, that if you were on the roof and it rolled off the scroll into the Rosh Hashanah within 10 Tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah, you cannot roll it back. You can only roll it back if it's more than 10 Tefachim off the ground. Now, we now understand what this is actually saying, is that you were on a sloping wall, so meaning it was always resting. It rested the entire, think of like a pyramid for a second, for all intents and purposes. So it rolled down the slope, and when we were talking within 10 Tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah, so now it's actually resting within 10 Tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we say that this is considered like the Rosh Hashanah, and then he can't roll it back up. And Rabbi Yehuda comes to add that no, actually that's only true when it's resting within 10 Tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah. But let's say it's not resting at all. Let's say it's dangling in the middle of the air. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's dangling in the middle of the air within like a little thread from the ground, then even if it's very close, much less than 10, much less than 10 tefachim off the ground, a tenth of a tefach off the ground, whatever it is, even then you can roll back up as long as it's still in the airspace of the ground. Okay, now finally the last opinion of the Mishnah over here. Very, very makel opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, "Afilu va'aretz atzmo." Even if the scroll is actually on the ground itself of Rosh Hashanah, golo etzel, he can roll it in toward himself. She'in l'cha davar mishum shavus omid b'fnish kisvei hakodesh, because nothing that is going to be nisir derabanan can stand in the way of preserving the sanctity of kisvei hakodesh, of these holy scriptures, and therefore we say you're allowed to roll it back up, because again, the whole issue is only going to be a Darabanan. It looks like a Daraisa, but it's really a Darabanan because he's technically holding it from the other side. So it was never a Nisr Daraisa. It just looked like it. So says Rabbi Shimon, you can even roll it back up because it's not a Nisr Daraisa. It's only a Nisr Darabanan. And the rabbis have no right to make a decree that will come in the way of us preserving the sanctity of a scroll or something like that. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Gimel. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Dalet. But for now, we'll stop right here.